Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us back again, very special guest, Jay Jacobs. Jay Jacobs is the chairman of the New York State Democratic Committee. He also serves as Nassau County Democratic Chair since October of 2001. As New York State Democratic Chair, Jay is the first ever to hold that position twice, once from 2009 to 2012, and again from 2019 to present. Chairman Jacobs also serves as an at-large member of the Democratic National Committee, recommended by President Barack Obama. Jay is also the CEO and major owner of the TLC family of camps and inns, which includes three sleepaway camps, three-day camps, a preschool, and two country inns. He is the founder of Summer Camp Opportunities to Promote Education, known as SCOPE, which is a program that sends inner-city children to not-for-profit camps. And I want to stop there because I want to ask Jay to tell us about his camps before we get into politics, because I think that's something that parents and people could appreciate. And if it's too late this year, next year, you tell them how they could participate.
Yeah, no, camp is my favorite time of the year. I enjoy working both with the campers and with my team, my staff up here, the counselors and the like. It's very rewarding work. You know, what you're doing is you're teaching children the skills of making and keeping friends while you're building their self-confidence, self-esteem, and their resilience. And these are, you know, the underpinnings of building a successful life in the future. I think you have to feel good about yourself. You have to know how to build relationships. You have to have good relationships in your marriage, I hope, and certainly with friendships in order to make, to give value to everything that you're doing. So camp is, you know, provides an underpinning of all of that, on top of which it's a lot of fun for the kids who come to any of these camps. I recommend it highly, and I'm not just recommending my camp, but I'm recommending summer camp in general. And I love sleepaway camp. The longer a child can go, the better. The friendships they make, the experiences they have, the memories they build, you can't compare that to anything else.
You know, I really could appreciate that, because my wife still talks about the camps she used to go to in Massachusetts. And she, when we're playing music in the car and you play the music from the 70s, it reminds her of the time that she spent at camps. I unfortunately didn't have that opportunity, but you know, there are a lot of movies about camps and a lot of fun things. So how would someone get involved in coming to your camp? Maybe if it's too late now, because we're in August going in September, but for next year.
Well, you know, in our case, you go to our website, you know, it's timberlakecamp.com. But, you know, you contact the American Camp Association in New York. They have a camp referral service that's free. And they'll help you find the camp that's best for you and your child. And I have to tell you that, just like you're describing your wife's experience, I hear music all the time. Late 60s or into the 70s for me. But I hear a song, it brings it all back. And you know, the memories, the friendships, the experiences, the life experiences. I say this and I mean it really genuinely. I would not be who I am today, and I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for my experiences at summer camp. And I think that there are lots of people who are, you know, far more successful than I am that'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. One of this country's and this state's hidden gems, summer camps. So in about a week, the Democrats will be holding their first presidential convention to officially nominate Kamala Harris as its candidate and Tim Walz as its vice president. Candidate. You know, a lot has happened in the last 3 weeks. It looked like we were going in with Biden, and he so graciously decided to step down. He said, you know, I've carried this party as far as I could carry it, and it's time to toss hand the baton off. What are your feelings about that?
Well, I think Joe Biden did the right thing. I think I have no question but that he could serve as president. I mean, I've talked to him. I've met with him. He's on the ball. And unfortunately, because of his age, he doesn't portray the vigor that would generate the kind of excitement that a campaign needs against a major threat like Donald Trump. So, you know, I think that in terms of a continuity of democracy being the most important thing, and his understanding that we had to win at all costs, he paid the ultimate political price anyway. He decided to step down. And I admire him greatly for the courage and the selflessness that went into making that decision. And he's given us a great candidate in his vice president.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've never seen that done in my lifetime. Probably will never see it done again. It was a selfless act. And going along with that, I see unusually there are a number of Republicans that say Republicans for Harris, Republicans for democracy, Republicans for the future. Of course, Adam, former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, and there are a number of, let's put it this way. There are cabinet members, former cabinet members that served Donald Trump, and they, that they are now supporting Kamala Harris. There are, I mean, this is unusual. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, look, you know, people who work closely with this guy, if your whole life is committed to gaining and retaining power, you're going to stick with Trump because that's all that you care about. But if your life's commitment is to service and to people and to helping people and to the country, if you're truly a patriot, then you see this guy for what he is, and he's a complete fraud. I mean, he was a fraud in business. And I'm not just saying because, you know, how the current court cases turned out and said he was. I mean, we saw it before. He didn't pay his vendors. I mean, this guy's a skunk, I mean, frankly, in business. And then in politics, you know, he's a liar. He blew the COVID response completely. He was the one you got to remember. He was telling everybody, oh, it's only one or two people in Washington State. This is going away. Then he told us it'll be over by Easter. Don't worry about it. Then he told us we didn't need masks. He did back, I'll give him credit, he did back Operation Warp Speed to get vaccines manufactured, you know. But then when they were, he did nothing to get them in anyone's arms and said you didn't have to take them. Of course, you know, he took whatever medication he could when he got it. Sure. He kept the facts from the American public. A million people, think about this, a million people, one out of every 330 people in America died under Donald Trump's stewardship, under Donald Trump's presidency. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he's responsible for all of it, because COVID, you know, killed people all over the world, people in countries that had better responses. But we had among the highest mortality rates in the world. And we're one of the most sophisticated countries and advanced countries medically. How's that possible? It's possible because the response was awful. You couldn't get the material needed, the masks, et cetera, protect people into hospitals, nursing homes, and the like. The government did nothing in the beginning. Why? Because Trump was too busy trying to protect the image of his great economy, which he thought was going to ride him to victory in an election. And that's what it's always been about for Donald Trump. It's about Donald Trump. So the people who were working close to him in his administration would see it the best. You know, when he nominates somebody, this is the best, the most excellent person in the world. It would last about 2-3 months. And then he'd end up not even firing him. He'd fire him on Twitter because he didn't have the guts to face them personally. Think about that. This is a guy who has no humor in his life and no courage in his stomach to actually fire anybody that he doesn't like. And here he goes and he takes the most excellent, wonderful, best people in the world that I can get. And that's what he tells you he's getting. And months later, he's firing them all because they're terrible. Why are they terrible? Because he asks them to do things that they know are wrong and they won't do it. Well, they're not going to support him for re-election. This guy is a disaster. And you know something else? I think the American people have finally gotten sick of Donald Trump. You know, there's a saying that they used in TV world, and it was more popular years ago. I don't know if people remember it, but they used to say, you know, you jumped the shark. I think Donald
Trump, happy days.
He jumped the shark. Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, his grievance, resentment, you know, disaster campaign that everything is terrible and only he can make it great. You know, that worked on people for a while. And after a while, people are looking at this and say, are you kidding? Cut the nonsense. You lost the damn election. Get over it, buddy. Grow up. Pull up your pants. Become an adult. Jump the shark. He just is. People are sick of him. And that's why I think you're going to see not only Kamala Harris win this election, it's going to be a landslide. I'm telling you, let me be the first to predict a landslide. You know why? Because Americans, by their nature, they have their differences. You know, we differ on this and that. But by our nature, historically, we have always been and are today an optimistic people, a forward-looking people, people who want better, not worse, who want to go, as I say, forward, not in reverse. And that is why they are hearing Kamala Harris for the first time. They're hearing Tim Walz, our vice presidential nominee, for the first time. They're getting excitement all over this country. Why? Because people are happy. Remember Franklin Roosevelt, the happy warrior, and she's calling it the joyful warrior. It's the same thing. That's what people want in times of trouble. They want bright skies ahead, not dark, threatening clouds. And that's the campaign of Donald Trump versus the campaign of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
Now, let me ask you, who was the reporter that wrote a book about and interviewed Donald Trump and had the tapes? Which, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. And it escapes me. He was one of from Watergate days, the Washington Post, right? Yes. Great writer. Yeah. And
he had the tapes of Donald Trump saying how bad this was going to be back in March. Yeah. And Donald didn't lift a finger to
Bob Woodward.
Woodward, yes.
Yep.
And not only that, he hired all of the scientists that we had, that Obama had put in place for the pandemic, because we knew one day a pandemic was coming, whether it was monkeypox, whether it was bird flu. Something was coming on the horizon, because something always comes. Now, we can't stop these diseases from forming, but we could certainly stem this tide of diseases spreading and killing people.
Look at the difference. I mean, think about this for a second. Do you remember how Barack Obama handled and confronted Ebola?
Yes.
Ebola could have decimated America. He marshaled every asset the federal government had. He left no stone unturned. He took it seriously from day one. Look at the difference of how Barack Obama as president handled Ebola to how this guy, this grifter, self-interested, self-serving guy who happened to become president handled COVID. 1 million people are dead. And I will tell you, I don't know what percentage are his responsibility, but it is a heck of a lot.
A large percentage,
just decided not to do anything. Yes. And he decided to hide this from the American people. And he said so on tape. We've got that in his own voice. Yes. Yes. So, I mean, come on, folks. Yes. Who, you want to put this guy back in again?
Come on. Yes, yes.
Nonsense.
Yes. Is there so much dissatisfaction with Trump, even among his own supporters?
People are fed up with the politics of resentment and anger and retribution. I think they're looking for a more hopeful, positive set of solutions to the problems we have today. Look, the problems are real. And Donald Trump didn't cause all those problems. So let's face it, they predated him. That's why we got a Donald Trump. I mean, if we didn't have some of these issues, Donald Trump would have been nothing but the joke that he actually is. And so I just think that, you know, Republicans I know that the politics of the day, you're not supposed to say anything nice about the other party. And I've never bought into that. I have Republican friends who are sensible, decent people. We differ on policy issues, but that doesn't make them bad people. They just have a different view of looking at things. I respect them. I always used to say the Republican Party was my second favorite party, you know, and today I'm not so sure. But back then it was because, you know, there were Republicans we disagree, but that's the nature of American democracy. We're supposed to have parties that disagree with one another, and then we're supposed to come together and compromise. We do that in Nassau County, where I'm the county chair. Joe Cairo is the county chair. We sit and have dinner. I will tell you, on policy, we disagree on just about everything. We agree on the wine typically at dinner, and we, you know, agree sometimes on the appetizer we might share. But after that, there's not a thing that he and I agree on, other than at the end of the day, we've got to make sure we leave people better off because of our leadership rather than worse off. And that means sometimes working together, coming up with a compromise that neither of us are going to fully like, but that we believe is a fair deal. And that's what's always been the political philosophy of America. Back when the days when Everett Dirksen led the Republicans in the United States Senate, and Lyndon Johnson was the president, before that, the majority leader in the Senate. That's the way it was when Tip O'Neill was the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Democrat from Massachusetts, and Ronald Reagan, the Republican, was the president. You know, they'd bang each other over the head in the press all day long, and then Tip O'Neill would make his way up to the second floor of the White House in the evening for cocktails with Ronald Reagan, and they'd swap jokes and laugh and talk and have a good friendship, and then go back out and battle the next day. And that's what it should be here in America. But the era of Trump has just soiled all of that. And I want to see that come back. And I think that's what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are all about. I think it's about bringing back kindness, decency, bringing back the understanding that, you know what, the other party we disagree with, but that doesn't make them un-American. That doesn't make them bad people. Cut that nonsense out. That's for, you know, crazy third world countries where, you know, people are killing each other to get power. That's not what we do here.
I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. You're listening to Reaching Out. A very special guest back again is Chairman Jay Jacobs, New York State Democratic Party. You mentioned something about working together. You know, I have this theory. Suppose you would eliminate the whole Republican Party. You would eliminate the whole Republican Party. You would still have disagreements because you have disagreements within the Democratic Party, because you have a left wing, you have a right wing, and people are different. So no matter what people think, it's not even a party. People have differences. Even in families, you have differences. So you're never going to have everybody thinking the same way all the time on everything. So your point was well taken. You need parties, need people to work together no matter how they feel, how they think. There's always a compromise. So, can the Harris-Waltz ticket win? That's what we all want to know.
Well, I think it's going to win. I think that, as I mentioned before, Americans are upward-looking people, positive, optimistic people, forward-looking. I think Americans respond best to good news and hopefulness, kindness and decency. And I think they're, you know, this whole routine of Donald Trump, you know, this you know, you're fired routine from The Apprentice, you know, this nastiness. As I said, I think it's over. I think people are sick of it. I think they've had it. And I think that the win that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are going to have is going to be significant. It's going to be shocking. It's going to leave no doubt that this was a free and fair election. Donald Trump will have nothing that he can reasonably say, although he'll say it. You know, he lost by 7 million votes in America the last time. And he said it was rigged and stolen. I don't know how you rig and steal 7 million votes. That's a lot of votes. I think he can rig and steal 700 votes. I think he can figure that out. 7 million, it's a bit tough in all those different states. Boy, that's a conspiracy. That's the biggest conspiracy I've ever heard. But okay, you know, he wants to have you believe that. Even though, you know, what's funny is all of the Republicans who won in elections on the same ballot with Trump who lost his, boy, the Democrats, we must have been really cagey to rig the election so that Donald Trump, the Republican, would lose, but down ballot, all those senators on the same ticket and House on the same tickets, they would win. You didn't hear them complaining about it being rigged when they won.
Right,
how is that possible that we did that? But he'll do that anyway. But when Kamala Harris wins by 14 or 16 million votes, now tell us, how is it possible?
What must Democrats do to win between now and Election Day?
I think Democrats have to present their vision of the future of America, have to open it up so people can see what the possibilities are, what the opportunities are, and where we're going to take this country. I think this has got to be a positive campaign. Yes, we can point out the negatives of Trump, but that should not be the foundational underpinning of the campaign. It should be our vision for the future. And talking about the middle class, talking about people who built this country to begin with and who need now to believe once again in the great American dream, which I believe in, and I believe that I have been I have benefited from. So I want everybody to feel that. If you have hope, if you have a belief that you can do better or that your children will do better than you have done in this life, and the country supports that, then I think that hopefulness that comes back will be something that people will respond to, and that will resonate with the electorate and will win. While Donald Trump can talk about how the last election was stolen from him, which is so pure nonsense, and while he talks about retribution and getting angry with people and becoming dictator on day one and all that, and, you know, dark cloud stuff, we're going to be talking about bright skies, hopefulness, and opportunity. And I think that's where the voters are going to go.
Okay. Have you any warnings of things to avoid?
Well, of course. You know, I think that, you know, we have to avoid going down into that mud hole with Donald Trump, you know, the name calling and all the rest of it. We have to be, while we have to hit back, and don't make any mistake, I think you got to, you know, reply when Trump makes these stupid accusations that are completely not believable, but maybe there's some people that will. You have to reply. You have to answer back, and you have to hit back. But our campaign has got to be a positive one. The main focus when people look back on it has got to be, boy, they painted a very bright picture of our future, and that's where we wanted to go. Just like Franklin Roosevelt did, frankly, like Harry Truman did. Harry Truman's campaign is a great model. You know, he was expected to lose to Thomas Dewey, who was the governor of the state of New York, and Republican. And Harry Truman, everybody wrote him off. And he got on the back of the train that was Ferdinand Magellan, I think was Roosevelt's train. He went across country, stopped at all of those places. They called them whistle stops because trains never really stopped there. They just, the whistle would blow and the train would go by. Well, he stopped at every one of those little towns and villages. And basically he ran against the do-nothing Congress. He didn't even mention Dewey, frankly. He ran against the do-nothing Congress, and he talked about what he has done and will do. And the American people listened, and they surprised everybody. And there's that famous picture of Harry Truman. You know, he's holding up the Chicago Tribune that says, you know, Dewey wins or whatever it said. Yeah. And he's holding it up the morning after when he won.
Because
everybody's so surprised. Well, I think this is going to be a landslide surprise, and it's going to leave Donald Trump in tears with his mouth open. And I'm going to look forward to that day because I believe every dog has his day. And boy, Election Day is going to be Donald Trump's day.
Well, now I know there are a lot of displaced Republicans that would be glad where they could begin to put their party back together, because we need a strong Republican Party, because we need to work with somebody. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. And Jay, if you want to come back and say more, if it's something that you want to say, just contact us, and we will make sure that you come back again, because we enjoyed this conversation. Enjoy the rest of the summer to the camp, and we look forward to this election so we can chart our path to the future. Thank you for coming on Reaching Out.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237 Teamsters. A very special guest was New York State Democratic Chair Jay Jacobs. He's also the chair of Nassau County, so he holds that dual role. And I thank you for coming back on Reaching Out and giving us such a positive message. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.